it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Save big money in your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect finish for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and get your painting project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Brady back. Firing end zone, touchdown!
Brady has it, throwing, touchdown! Brady, play fake, throw, touchdown! Brady, looking to throw it, touchdown!
Brady, fires,
Givens, touchdown!
Side, Brady, play action, fires, Vrabel!
Nine. Brady throws, caught, LaFell, touchdown! And Brady's going to throw deep down the right side for Gronkowski and a touchdown. Again, the fake to him. Brady dances, throws, and it will be caught. Amendola for the touchdown. Brady caught, touchdown.
On a big play. Now they'll throw. Pass is caught. That's White. Touchdown. Brady, end zone touchdown.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Every day, our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Well, it's the end of an era today. One of the best quarterbacks, the best quarterback of all time, the oldest quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl MVP, the oldest quarterback to ever win an NFL MVP, the only quarterback to win Super Bowl MVP with two different franchises, Tom Brady took to Twitter this morning to announce that he is retiring from the NFL. This was Tom Brady's announcement.
Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring for good. I know the process was a pretty big deal last time, so when I woke up this morning, I figured I'd just press record and let you guys know first, so I won't be long-winded. Like, you only get one super emotional retirement essay, and I used mine up last year, so I really thank you guys so much to every single one of you for supporting me, my family, my friends, my teammates, my competitors. I could go on forever. There's too many. Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream. I wouldn't change a thing. Love you all.
There we go. A teary-eyed Tom Brady officially announcing that he is stepping away from football. D. Mace, Willie D., both of your initial reactions when you heard the news.
He got a big head. That's what I was thinking. Like, man, back up from the telephone a little bit.
He needs like a selfie.
Exactly. No.
Give us a 360 of the picture, Tom.
No, I mean, I think it's, you know, I think this time is different. I think last time he was pressured into doing it. And you can just tell, you know, just everything surrounding it, that this isn't going to be a long retirement. It just felt like you can feel when someone's pressured into doing something and when they're not. I think this time, I don't think he told anybody. I just think he woke up and was like, you know what? I'm done. And rightfully so. I think we talked about this before the end of the season. It might have been when they were trying to push for a playoff spot. And would he come back another year? And, you know, going through what he went through, not the football stuff, that doesn't mean anything. The adversity he went through in football pales in comparison to what he went through off the field. The football stuff, you throw that stuff away because he didn't have to really go through nothing other than playing another year and trying to get his body going. But what he went through personally, That takes a toll on you. And you saw it, you know, you saw it in his interviews last year at the beginning of the camp. It looked like he had lost like 15 or 20 pounds. You can just see it. He was tired. And it had nothing to do with football. It had everything to do with his personal life. And I think I said it at the time. When you go through something like that, man, it just takes a lot out of you emotionally and mentally. And I think now I understand, you know, because I was going through the same thing at toward my latter part of my years. And I just didn't want to play anymore, you know, during the divorce and that. I didn't want to play anymore. And I'm pretty sure that's how Tom felt. Now he wants to segue into his second part of his life, you know, help out his wife to continue to raise children and be there for them as much as he possibly can, because he's still going to have other obligations to do. But I think last season was just a bit too much for him. He tried to push through and he looked good doing it on the field. But I think he finally realized, like, listen, I need to, you know, I need to set my priorities back right. And I need to just walk away, you know, while, because he played good football. Even though his team didn't get to the Super Bowl, he played good football. And now he's just hanging it up and doing what he felt he should have done last year if he wasn't pressured sort of into doing it. And that's just stop playing football and concentrate on your personal life.
I thought, you know, it made sense for him to do it. I was saying throughout the season, when I watched him this year, it was different. He
wasn't having fun.
Well, and it didn't come easy to him. Mm-hmm. Like it was really a struggle. Even some games that they pulled out. I'll give two for an example. There was the Monday night game against the Saints. He just looked awful. The team was stuck in the mud. And these are two games that they won. I'm gonna reference that one. And there was a Sunday late afternoon game against the Rams that they ended up winning. The score was something, I don't know, 17-16 or 19-17 or something. It was
but
a
tough
defense
wins against bad teams.
Yeah, and just moving the ball, it was 6 yards at a time. His yards per attempt, I think, by far were a career low. So it was a struggle to get anything done. And I think it would have been even more of a struggle next year. And I think there's I'm just trying to put myself in his shoes. Like, do I want to go through this again, either with the Bucks, where it may not be a whole lot better, or with a new team that's really counting on me to win a Super Bowl, and it just can't. I can't do it like I used to do it before. I mean, maybe he has totally different reasons, but I think too he can go out on a really good note. He's not going to have that last year. I don't know. We can go through dozens of mm-hmm. great players, Joe Namath and Franco Harris and others that the last few games just look sad, mm-hmm. right? It's just, oh, man, it's just, it's not him.
Even Peyton Manning.
Yeah, and he won a Super Bowl, but right. Man, he really struggled to get much done there. So, I don't know. All of those things come to my mind. Who knows? Only Tom Brady knows why now was right. But I take him at his word on this. A lot of times I am very skeptical, and I was last year mm-hmm. because there was a lot of weird stuff in the – is he retired? Remember, there was almost immediately a report. He's not really retired. He didn't say he was retired. Remember, there was a lot of indecision. This looked like this was his choice. He did it. So I do believe that he's done this time. He will not come back.
That was my initial reaction when I first saw it was, I don't believe you. I don't believe it. Because I was under the understanding or idea that Tom Brady wanted to go out on top. And that was just my opinion of Tom Brady and how he wanted to play out his career. I don't know that. I thought that he wanted to go somewhere else, maybe go home, go to San Francisco, win a Super Bowl with San Francisco, and end your career with the team that you grew up rooting for. What a fairy tale ending for Tom Brady. But I get it. I get it. I mean, I watched Jeff Arlington's essay that came out late last week, and he was talking about how difficult this season was for Tom Brady, how exhausted he was all season long, not just physically, mm-hmm. but emotionally and mentally, going through really difficult things, going through a divorce, going through a lot of things in your personal life. Jeff Arlington cited in that essay that he lost 15 pounds, and you could tell his face was sunken in. You could tell that this had just taken a toll on his body. Mm-hmm. And people who, I mean, Tom Brady being a guy who seemed immortal to be a player to play this long at such a high level that he had been playing at. I thought that, you know, with this immortality that only will continue. But I think it's a reminder that Tom Brady's a human too. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame him for wanting to step away. And I understand. I completely understand. And I agree with you, Willie. I think this one is different. Last year, I thought, this just feels weird. Like, the news came out from Schefter before it came out from Tom Brady. And he was very committal and then non-committal. This seems like he woke up one day and he made his peace with stepping away from the game of football. And I know, I heard Chase talking about this earlier, about how you feel in February might change in May. Whenever you could go back, or whenever you could get back to training camp. I don't know if you ever felt that way, D-Mace, if you ever wanted to step away from the game right at the end of the season, and then you thought, no, I'm ready to play, still have some left in the tank. But I think that this is it.
Yeah, there were several times that I wanted to. One in particular, I did tell the Baltimore Ravens, like, listen, I'm done. And that was sort of toward the, you know, after the season, like a month after the season. And you know, I went through, you know, like a month and a half of just, you know, sort of, you know, getting away from it. Still working out, but getting away from it, you know, and seeing if that fire would come back again, because it just wasn't there when I after that season. And then, subsequently, I ended up coming back and whatnot. But, you know, last season to me, for him, and I think everyone was so scared to say it out loud, and you know, I think sometimes when you're afraid to say it out loud, you're just doing just your own self an injustice. They knew, I think the people close to him knew what he was going through. Even the guys like Teddy Bruschi and those guys, you know, listen, when you are going through something like that emotion, especially in your latter part, now, if you're early in the game, you know, 5, 6, 7 years into the game, and you have to go through something like that, typically, you know, you're able to, you know, sort of put it to the side, deal with it when you have to deal with it, but get on the field. But after you've been in a league, you know, 15, 16, 17, 19 years, like Tom, you know, at that time, you know, when you have to go through something like that off the field, it truly takes a lot out of you. You may not show it to people, but people are able to. You may not say it, but people are able. If they're paying attention, they're able to see you. They see your face. They see your body. They see how it changes, especially if you care about someone. And now it's being, you know, the relationship is being severed. Whether it be, you know, a longtime girlfriend or a boyfriend, or husband and wife, when you actually go through it in the separation, regardless of what the separation was for or the divorce was for, you're still going to go through it emotionally and mentally. And I think a lot of people, especially nationally, they were scared to say, yeah, Tom just doesn't look the same. And I'm sure it's because of what he's going through personally, his divorce. People didn't want to touch that for whatever reason. But you saw it. You knew it. And I think he tried to give it one more go. And I don't think he was having, I don't think the fire, it wasn't completely out, but it wasn't burning like it was, you know, a year prior or two or 3 years important. Prior.
I think that, and when you feel that,
yeah,
it's only going to get tougher to get the flame back to where exactly.
It gets
want.
Tough to go on. Yeah. I'm telling you.
The off-season I went through the same stuff thing. To fight to stay in shape. Exactly. You got to work harder to stay on top.
It's like going to practice was just like a grunt. Like, it was like you were carrying a bunch of baggage to practice, and you couldn't let it go. You know, it was just tiresome. Every day was just getting up, and it was like, oh, man, I got to go to practice. Now I got to find a way to get myself up to go to practice because, I, you know, they're counting on me to be fully whole once I get there. And that's tough. It's really tough. And I'm, as the quarterback, it's even tougher. You know, I couldn't imagine having to be the leader of the whole team at the quarterback position and going through that, you know, and then have to shut it off, shut it back on, shut it off. That's tough. It's really tough.
Especially considering how high of a level of intensity
exactly.
Tom Brady played the game and how much pressure he put on himself and with others. But I think I look at, you know, in the history of sports, I'm so envious of people who got to watch Muhammad Ali mm-hmm. in person, or got to watch Michael Jordan play in games. Just hearing stories of people and hearing stories about that time of the greatest to ever do it. Mm-hmm. I feel so lucky to have been able to be a sports fan and a football fan in the Tom Brady era, mm-hmm. to be able to have watched Tom Brady in, you know, the most dominant performance of any quarterback of all time. And I'm selfishly sad that that's coming to an end, because I don't remember a time in football before Tom Brady. He got drafted when I was 2 years old.
Oh, wow.
My entire football fandom has involved Tom Brady, so it's truly an end of an era, but I think that we all should feel lucky that we've been able to win.
It's crazy to think. We were talking about the game yesterday when the article came out about switching from grass to turf, and the first game I thought of was John Madden, Monday Night. We're talking about John Madden, and I think his partner at the time on Monday Night Football was Al Michaels, but we're talking about a big game that Tom Brady was involved with, that Derek was playing. And mm-hmm. you weren't a rookie.
No.
Derek, you were, you know, in the prime of your career. This is 2002. Mm-hmm. 2002. So we're talking about a game 20 years ago, 21 years ago, about thereabouts. And Tom Brady was there. Like, we're talking about a generation of football
mm-hmm.
from the same guy.
Which is
unreal. Real.
Unreal. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Your thoughts on Tom Brady's retirement. But coming up next, what does Tom Brady's retirement mean for the rest of the league, and specifically the Titans? We'll get into all of that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring for good. I know the process was a pretty big deal last time, so when I woke up this morning, I figured I'd just press record and let you guys know first. So I won't be long-winded. Like, you only get one super emotional retirement essay, and I used mine up last year. So I really thank you guys so much to every single one of you for supporting me, my family, my friends, my teammates, my competitors. I could go on forever. There's too many. Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream. I wouldn't change a thing. Love you all.
There you go. Tom Brady officially announces his retirement via Twitter video today, and I believe it. I believe this is it. He says it's for good, and I believe it. He's just ready to move on to bigger and better things. So now, as we say goodbye to Tom Brady, we say hello to a much, much, much more interesting quarterback carousel in the NFL. Because so many of the discussions that we've been having, not just about the Titans, but the quarterback carousel throughout the league as a whole, was so dependent on where Tom Brady went. So how does this affect the Titans and their quarterback carousel and their potential getting involved, their impression of potential involvement in the quarterback carousel? Because we saw Mike Sando's mm-hmm. article in his pick six, where an NFL exec said, "I think the 49ers will trade Trey Lance to Tennessee. They'll end up with Brady, and Brady will play 1 year for his home team. They'll have Brock Purdy as the backup. That's the chatter. They have the defense already. Brady wants to win one more, and this is right up the 49ers' alley." That, to me, felt very feasible. Tom Brady goes home to the 49ers. They trade Trey Lance. Brock Purdy is their backup. And then we see the news coming down today that Tom Brady is retiring and Brock Purdy needs Tommy John surgery. I don't think Trey Lance is going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady's out, so obviously the Titans can't move on with Tom Brady. The quarterback carousel got so much more interesting.
Well, it affects two teams, I believe.
The Raiders.
I believe it affects the Raiders as well as the Tennessee Titans. I think now the Raiders have to really seriously think about, because it's down to, you know, really one quarterback, and that's Jimmy Garoppolo. Are they better off with Jimmy or Derek Carr? They may have burned bridges with Derek Carr already because of how they treated him toward the end. You know, they basically benched him. You move on, they put him to the side, or he chose to sort of back away from the team because he understood what was coming down the road here for him. So I'm not sure if that relationship is able to be mended. But, you know, listen, in football, you know, sometimes you know, money speaks louder than anything. And if willing to give him more money or willing to guarantee him the money that he's owed, then he might just be the Vegas Raiders.
It takes years.
Exactly.
It took us years to go from Oakland to L.A.
Exactly.
And then from L.A. back to Oakland, it took me a couple years with that.
It's like, man, I keep on saying Oakland. The Vegas Raiders. So do they go for Jimmy Garoppolo? Do they choose to keep Derek Carr and the Titans sitting in a position? See, the Titans are good because they never really showed their hand either way. They never said, you know, listen, we are exploring options at the quarterback position. And they didn't say that, you know, Ryan was our guy. They said, listen, Ryan said, I got to go and evaluate. You know, he's been great for this organization. He's won games, but I need to evaluate him. So now that Tom Brady has taken himself out of the mix, I think, you know, the Titans, you know, keep Ryan Tannehill. But this is interesting, too, because now will the Titans make a move to try to move up in the draft to get a quarterback? Because as we look, Trey Lance might not be moved because of what's going on with Brock Purdy. So they don't know. They need a quarterback. Tom's retired. Exactly. So they need a quarterback. So they just can't, you know, deal Lance away and don't know what's going to happen with Brock Purdy. So he's pretty much out the picture now. So as the Tennessee Titans, do you keep Ryan Tannehill, which I assume they will because they never said they were not, but do you move up in the draft now and try to get your quarterback for the future? That's what I'm sort of thinking now. Because there's no sort of backup. Like, we can't go to Tom Brady now unless, which I don't think is going to happen, unless Tom says get into the season and something happens and Tom comes back out of retirement. You never know. But I don't think he will. So the Titans have to explore other options.
Yeah, you guys know me. I never thought they were going to get into the Brady thing to begin with. But
the Brady Bunch.
I think that the offensive coordinator decision definitely will play into how they approach it now, mm-hmm. right? And I think it always was going to, but it is the offensive coordinator that they bring in going to bring in an entirely new system, which might make you even more apt to look at other opportunities. I still think, I keep coming back to the same thing. I don't see a net gain with anybody that's out there that is such an improvement from Tannehill that it's worth all of the shuffling around trying to find another place for Tannehill or eating the money that it would take to cut Tannehill, all of these things. I think the most convenient way is just to stick with Tannehill and then work on the process of finding the next guy. So until I see otherwise, that's what I'm going to keep going with. I'm going to play the percentages there. But I am intrigued to see if the offensive coordinator comes in and he's going to just completely overhaul the system, then I do think it's time to see what is out there, you know, with Tannehill and Henry entering the last year of their contracts.
And to your point, Willie, I don't think that there is any quarterback out there other than one that is going to make your team better. I think Brady was an obvious choice. He'll make your team better. You don't have to give up anything to get him. Mm-hmm. He has historically shown us that he is willing to bend and break on the contract in order to make things work. So that felt like the slam dunk thing for any team. Mm-hmm. And that's why, I mean, other than the fact that it's Tom freaking Brady, that's why the market was so hot for Tom Brady. But now you look at the quarterback market, it's a Jimmy Garoppolo or a Baker Mayfield or a Derek Carr. And then there's Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. And Aaron Rodgers is the only legitimate step up from Ryan Tannehill. And I don't know if the Titans want to get into that or not. But now you're looking at, in the AFC alone, the Raiders need a quarterback. Mm-hmm. The Jets need a quarterback and would do anything for Aaron Rodgers. The Titans could improve at quarterback. They don't need to be in the quarterback market, but they could be. Mm-hmm. And I'm missing one. The Colts.
Yeah.
The Colts need a quarterback as well. So now you've got a really starving quarterback market and not very many options.
Yeah. And a sitting quarterback who is, you know, a serviceable quarterback, if nothing else. You don't have to do anything to keep the quarterback you have. Those other teams, they have to go get a quarterback.
Well, Indy's going to get their quarterback in the draft, so you can eliminate them. You just assume they are, what, the third pick in the draft right now? Are they third or fourth?
Colts?
Yeah.
Fourth.
So they may make a move up to get their quarterback. because Chicago, as they sit, they don't need a quarterback. So they're just sitting back waiting on, you know, who's going to offer the most to get to the number one spot.
To the Houston, prettiest girl without a date.
Absolutely. So Houston's going to get their quarterback in the draft because they got the second pick. So that eliminates, you know, basically two that are looking for veteran guys. Again, the market is slim. The market could open up a little bit more depending on, and I don't think they're going to do it, depending on, you know, what the Baltimore Ravens do. They've already franchised, they said they are going to franchise Lamar. They're going to put the exclusive franchise on him. So if they do have to deal him, they are in control of it. So if he hits the market, then now it opens up to three. Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, and we're talking about three guys that can potentially win you a championship. Lamar Jackson and possibly Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think Derek Carr is, honestly, now, I don't think Derek Carr is going anywhere unless they can convince Jimmy Garoppolo to go to Vegas.
I think the Raiders have just burned too many bridges with Derek Carr. They've already said, but they got to keep
him because they don't know. Because if they get rid of him, they're stuck with Stidham. And do you want? I think I would rather have Derek Carr than Jarrett Stidham.
Oh, 100 times out of 100 times.
You would think, but yeah. I mean, they did kind of just slot Stidham in there, and
because they didn't want to get they didn't want Derek Carr to get hurt because they were looking to move on from him. But now, can they?
It's interesting, like, because you would have said the same thing about Jimmy G, right? Going at training camp, they had him on another field, like he wasn't even doing the practices. And then as soon as Trey Lance got hurt, Jimmy, we kind of need you over here.
Yeah.
So it can look like the bridge is burned, and then it's not. So I am curious because it did look like, okay, they're moving on from Derek Carr. It's over. But you don't back yourself into a corner like that. It can only hurt you, right? Keep your options open.
615-737-1025. And Willie, you mentioned something that I think could make the Titans' potential quarterback search much more interesting. We'll get into that coming up next. It's Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 1025, 1063, The Game.
I don't know. Maybe before it was public. Look, I think it's Matt Nagy. And I think the only reason that it's not already Matt Nagy is because the Chiefs are still playing. Like, now, I don't know that. I'm not reporting that. That's just what I feel has happened. And so I think that's to me, if Kansas City weren't still playing, I feel like it would have been done by now.
There you go. That was Tim Hasselbeck on the show yesterday. He's saying he thinks the Titans are going to bring in Matt Nagy. Now, is that a Tim Hasselbeck saying, hey, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, this is my quote-unquote opinion? Or is that really just his opinion? Is it just, hey, you know, this is what I think is going to happen? And that's not the first time that Tim Hasselbeck mentioned Nagy in congruence with the Tennessee Titans. We had him on this show less than a month ago. I asked him about the offensive coordinator situation. This is what Tim Hasselbeck had to say. This was a few weeks ago.
Going away a little bit from Derrick Henry, what do you think is the profile of Nagy?
Yeah, I don't think that means you go away from Derrick Henry. Here's what I think. I think Matt Nagy was highly regarded before the Bears job. The Bears, as the head coach, that didn't work out. I think a lot of that could be looked at in terms of, you know, maybe the quarterback situation wasn't great there. The fact that Andy brought him back to Kansas City, I think, speaks to Andy's, feeling about Matt Nagy. Whereas, you know, sometimes when guys, you know, leave and get an opportunity, sometimes the head coach is helping him get out the door. Would like to see him leave. And then, you know, when he doesn't hire him back, I think it tells you a little something. So the fact they brought him back, I think, is interesting. And I would say this. I don't think that there is a coach in the NFL over the period of time offensively that's been as good as Andy. And so I think it makes a lot of sense.
Okay, so that is now twice that Tim Hasselbeck has said, I think that the Tennessee Titans are going to hire Matt Nagy as the next offensive coordinator. Now, Matt Nagy comes from the Andy Reid system, same system that they run in Philadelphia. That's not the system that they run with Tennessee. Willie, you mentioned last segment that the Titans quarterback situation could be dependent on the offensive coordinator that they bring in, and that is 100% true. It's not that Tannehill doesn't have the ability to run this system, but that's just not the system that this team runs. It's not the system that Tannehill and Derrick Henry know. The core of this team doesn't run that system. So if Tennessee is on the quarterback carousel, could they be looking in a completely different direction in a quarterback that runs that Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, Philadelphia Eagles system?
I think it's possible, but if there's not, you have to have the person in mind, I think. Like, if you're going to hire this OC, you have to be thinking, if I'm going to bring this OC in, what does it look like with my current personnel? Or if we're going to change the system completely and run and change the personnel, who's my quarterback? Like, that's an essential question, right? And as we just got done talking about in the last segment, it's going to be tricky to bring another quarterback in that is clearly better than Tannehill. Even if you're thinking, well, we'll just draft the guy, that's complicated too. Like, how does that person fit in with a new system? So it's something that will be very important when they have these discussions with the potential next OC, if it is Nagy or anybody else.
Yeah, it is. Whether it's because it seems like he would rather have someone sort of from the Andy Reid school of teaching, coaching, you know, because he's going, it seems like they're going after either Eric Bieniemy or Matt Nagy, whichever one of the two would like to come. And whether it's Nagy or Bieniemy, I think it's, Tim says Matt Nagy, and he could be right. I'm not saying he's wrong, but I think that Eric Bieniemy is the one that should leave, that he has to leave, because he has to get up away from that shadow of Andy Reid, and he needs to establish himself as a standalone offensive coordinator. Matt Nagy has already did that. He was head coach of the Chicago Bears. He's been under that shadow of Andy Reid in Philadelphia. He's really only been two places, Philly and if you take away Chicago, Philly and Kansas City. Those are the only two places that he's really been.
Under Andy.
So it seems like to me, you know, it would be more so Eric Bieniemy than Matt Nagy that leaves, because Eric Bieniemy needs to get up under the shadow of Andy Reid. Matt Nagy has already done it, had some success in Chicago, came back. I think he does want to be a play caller again, but he wants to be a play caller with a team that already has a quarterback in place. It's easier for him to get a head job again when you're the offensive coordinator and Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback. It's harder to get a head coaching job when you take a job somewhere else and you don't have that quarterback. And it seems like a struggle to get that offense going. So I think Matt Nagy wants to be a head coach again someday.
All right, so let's try to connect the dots. Let's just say it's Nagy or Bieniemy. It's an Andy Reid person. It's an Andy Reid system.
And I don't know if it is, but
I'm not a good enough person knowing schemes to know if Tannehill is a fit there, non-fit, somewhere in between. I wonder, because that has to be a question, right? Hey, can you make it work with Tannehill? How does Tannehill fit with what you want to do with this offense you're bringing in? So I don't know. Would you have any feel for that if Tannehill's a fit for an Andy Reid system?
I think he would be from this standpoint, because he went for whatever system they had in Miami. He went through what, two or three offensive coordinators in Miami, Ryan Tannehill
it was just a
revolving door with Ryan Tannehill. But he still managed to play good football. It wasn't great football, but it was good football. Then he comes here to Nashville, and he plays under two offensive coordinators. Well, three. You know, was he here with LaFleur? He was here with LaFleur. He was here with Arthur Smith and now Downey. Uh-huh. And this would be his fourth. So to me, he can play under any system. I think he's one of those guys that can learn a system very quickly, adapt to it, because he still has the ability to move around in a pocket. He still has the ability to run. Now, I think he will be fully healthy come next season. The ankle won't be any problem for him. So to me, I don't have any reservations on whether, you know, Ryan Tannehill can fit in this system or that system. He's proven that he can learn any system. Just give him some playmakers, and I think he'd be fine.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get your thoughts on that. Plus, if the Titans do bring in Matt Nagy, I think it's dependent on one thing, and I'll explain what I think that is coming up next. It's Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 1025-1063 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Tim Hasselbeck was on the show yesterday and said for the second time in a month that he thinks that Matt Nagy is going to come to the Tennessee Titans and be the offensive coordinator. And there's been a question floating around that I've asked myself, I'm sure we all have asked ourselves, if the Titans are going to hire Tim Kelly, which I think is probably the leader amongst ourselves in the clubhouse, who we think is the leader at least.
You think so?
I think so.
I think other. I don't think, I would say Nagy is the leader.
You would say Nagy?
That's who I would say.
Who would you say is the leader?
Because if Kelly were the leader, I just think he would be hired by now. So to me, he's not the leader.
Is if you were going to hire Tim Kelly, why don't you just hire him?
That's why I think he's not the leader. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's going to be Nagy or somebody else.
Yeah.
If I had to pick one, I'd say Nagy. I'm going with my man Tim on that.
Going with Tim.
Yeah.
I'm more, it's almost like I'm split between the two. I think it's 50-50, Nagy or Bieniemy. I just think Nagy because Mike Vrabel, he talks about loyalty, loyalty, loyalty. And his loyalty means I'm bringing in a coach that's not looking to be like the next following year to be a head coach. Now, he went through that with LaFleur, you know, brought him in, and then he ends up getting the head coaching job. And then I think after that, that's when – you know, not that Mike Vrabel wasn't thinking loyalty then, because he was, but I think he made it known, like, loyalty, that's what, you know, coach coming in here,
right.
It's got to be about the team, not about, you know, I'm only doing this to you know, build my portfolio and build my stock up to get a head coaching job. He doesn't, even though he know it can happen, and it eventually will, if you have success, people are going to come for your coaches. That's just the way the NFL is in all sports. But he doesn't want that to be the thing that's on the guy's mind all the time. And I think if you bring Nagy in, you got to bring him in knowing that he may be gone the next following year if this offense gets going. If you bring Bieniemy in here, I think you will have Bieniemy a little bit longer then you will have Matt Nagy. Because I guarantee you, if Matt Nagy comes in here and he turns his offense around, it will only be a one-year deal. It will be only he will be gone to the next team that's going to give him a head coaching job. And nothing's wrong with that because that's what you – if you are a coordinator, I think, especially a young coordinator, and Nagy's not an older guy. I think he's sort of – I think he may be in his 40s, mid-40s. So he's a young guy. He's not taking a job thinking, I'm just going to be a coordinator for the rest of my life. No, he's taking it in hopes that he can get an offense going again to show that he is, you know, still head coaching material.
And I think it'd be a good thing. And yeah. I know you don't want to lose your guys. You don't want to lose your coaches. You don't want to be looking for a new offensive coordinator every year. But I think that's the best testament to your coordinator. If they come in and then get a head coaching job, they're doing something right. You know, I would love if a coordinator came in here and did such a good job that there were eyes turning around the league for in a positive reason. But I do totally hear your understanding of we want our guys to come in here. We don't want to be on the offensive coordinator carousel, so to speak. But that's the biggest reason why I could side with Tim and you, Willie, is if you were going to hire Tim Kelly, you could have just done it by now.
Yeah.
You've satisfied the Rooney Rule. You've done your due diligence, at least to an extent. So if that was your guy, if you wanted to promote from within, you would have done it by now. So if they didn't do it by now, then maybe he's not the guy. But looking at Nagy, I just don't know how it makes sense. Because your quarterback right now doesn't run this system. Mm-hmm. You just hired a general manager that comes from this system, that came from the root of the system in Shanahan. So I don't know how it would make sense to hire a general manager from the Shanahan system that has been in place as long as Mike Vrabel has been the head coach, and then you bring in an offensive coordinator that runs a different system, from the system that Rand Carthon has been grown from and has evaluated. But I think the only way that makes it a little bit different, that could switch things up a little, make things a little bit spicy. What is Matt Nagy's title right now?
He's what, quarterback's coach?
Yeah, I think quarterback's coach.
Yeah.
He's a quarterback's coach. Mm-hmm. So wouldn't you want to bring in a quarterback guru if you were going to draft your quarterback of the future? If you wanted your quarterback
Well, they didn't
to
get rid of the
up?
They didn't haven't gotten rid of O'Hara. So Pat O'Hara is still there,
mm-hmm.
and he's the quarterback's coach. So whether, you know, whether it's Matt Nagy they bring in that is now his current title is quarterback's coach. You know, would they bring him in to be the quarterback's, you know, offensive coordinator slash quarterback's coach or just offensive coordinator? But he does, you know, he will have that time to develop whatever quarterback they choose to get, whether it's, you know, to help developing Malik Willis even more mm-hmm. or developing the next quarterback they go get via the draft. But I just not saying that Matt Nagy won't be, that he will not be the offensive coordinator. I'm just 50-50. I think mm-hmm. it'd be either him or be me. And I don't think Rand Carthon really cares that much about, you know, whether it's a guy from the, you know, Shanahan tree running the same offense that, you know, that he is accustomed to or getting someone outside. He's more inclined, let's just win. I will find the players or we will find the players that fit this system, whatever system we get. And players, listen, we make so much of a big deal about systems. Players, if your quarterback is able to adapt to the system, if you're able to teach the system to these players in a way that they can grasp it, it's fine. Players are intelligent enough that, you know, it doesn't take them long to learn systems. And if it does take them long, then, listen, you're not going to be able to play, you know. So it would behoove you as a player to learn the system as quickly as possible, because if you know the system, you play more. If you don't know the system, I can't play you more. So I don't think Rand is – he's like, listen, we just want to bring – Vrabel, you – that's your deal. You pick the coach. Just bring in somebody that's going to help this team win, whether it's someone from the Shanahan tree, the Andy Reid tree, the Willie Donick tree, as long as the Caroline tree, as long as they can coach and we're winning, that's all that matters. We're bringing the guys. You proven to be a damn good coach. You'll teach the guys. You'll teach them up or coach them up. You know, that's all I care about. So just bring in a coach that's going to help this team win. That's all I care about.
The Donick system is from the ninth grade, the Maitland Junior High Golden Hawks, the Veer. We had the three backs, well, L tight left, 35 blast. We were a little option. We could put it in the air. We had the little slant, and then the uh-huh. Z out. That's about all we had.
There you go.
I think the scouts playbook. In this modern day age of football, I think they'd
stop figure you out.
They'd figure it
while.
Out pretty quick.
Yeah, they extended my system.
We were pretty good, though.
We could ball.
I had a great offensive line, man. We moved it.
Let's go to your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One texter checks in and says, don't give me Nagy. He was an absolute train wreck in Chicago. Don't need that here.
He wasn't. I mean, he had a really good season that first year. Second year, they were 8-8 and 8-8. And then that last year, they just bottomed out. They never really had a quarterback there.
That's
it. Yeah. Just, you can't blame that all on him. When you don't have that guy at quarterback, they had a hell of a team.
Yeah.
I mean, a hell of a defense. But when you don't have that quarterback, man, it's tough.
It is tough.
You know?
And they were rotating through Andy Dalton, mm-hmm. Nick Foles. Who else was in that rotation? Mm-hmm. Just a bunch of, like, very underwhelming
quarterbacks. Was he there for Trubisky? Mitch Trubisky? Yeah.
It was Trubisky. And also, I've said it so many times, good coordinators sometimes aren't good head coaches.
Exactly.
And sometimes good head coaches weren't good coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Vrabel was not a very good defensive coordinator.
No.
But he's one of the best coaches in the league. And, you know, Matt Nagy maybe doesn't have a future as being a head coach in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he wasn't very good in Chicago. And maybe, you know, you get him with the right players and he could be very successful.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a pretty good coordinator. I mean, Alex Smith had the best year of his career when Matt Nagy was the one calling plays.
Mm-hmm.
They also did have, in his defense, one great year. It's probably the best.
That was a 12-4 year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
2018?
Yeah, so let's look at the Bears. The Bears since like 2007. Like let's just take the entire arc of Brady's career. They've only had about four good seasons in that entire time, right? And he had one of the best. That if the guy just makes a field goal, remember the double doink?
Yeah.
It's a very makeable field goal. We could be talking about a different line of history, right? That's again, we were talking about this the other day, the what ifs, right? A bounce of a ball. It's so close, the margin of winning and losing. Like with Josh Allen, 13 seconds. The narrative would be different about Josh Allen if they'd won that game last year at Arrowhead Stadium. And you could argue all they do would squib the kick. Mm-hmm. And the Chiefs don't have time to get the field goal to tie it. The story is completely changed. If the guy just makes a field, I forget the name. He kicked for the Titans. Cody Parkey, I think, was the kicker.
Yeah.
He had the double doink that didn't go in. Like, what would the story be if the Bears had won that game?
Think about the 99 Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You just reach that arm out just a little bit further. Yeah. The history of the Tennessee Titans is totally different.
So here's Nagy at the Bears as the head coach. What's the rap? The rap, because the last season was a train wreck, was bad head coach. 12-4 first. Missed the field goal in the first game of the playoffs. 8-8, but made the wild card. So they actually made the playoffs twice with Trubisky, who history will show is not a great quarterback, but he got him to the playoffs twice. And then the roof caved in, 6-11 in 2021, and they gave up on him.
Mitch Trubisky taking over Patrick Mahomes in that draft. I bet that still hurts.
Nice.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Outkick 360's Jonathan Hutton will join us coming up next. It's Caroline Willie D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.